This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Robert Dubois. He's in prison for putting Superman in the ICU with a kryptonite bullet.
I'm not joining your suicide squad.
We'll see. I wouldn't take such extreme measures if this mission went more important than you could possibly imagine. Let's meet your team.
It's okay, I'm not okay.
Each member is chosen for his or her own completely unique set of abilities.
Ratatouille, what do you got?
Bird.
Nanaue. Stay off the comm.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvind. Now, as promised, we have a very packed lineup of films to catch more or less from now until the end of the year because all the postponed movies are coming out. And we are going to therefore be shelving some throwbacks from time to time. Today is one of those days. We are going to be reviewing instead a new-ish DC film, and that is The Suicide Squad 2021, not to be mistaken with just Suicide Squad 2016.
Yes, new-ish in so many ways, right? Because really, like, watching this film made me both really excited because of how much better The Suicide Squad was than Suicide Squad. But also, I don't know, it's a weird sense of everyone having already talked about it and it's objectively really good. But I sort of felt like this is the kind of movie that I wish I had caught when the hype was still around, rather than us getting it like, what, 2 months, 3 months later? That said, I really enjoyed the movie and I think I'm ready to erase the older Suicide Squad from memory now.
Oh, that happened the moment I watched the older Suicide Squad. Like that, like instantly forgettable. I wanted to ask though, like, was there hype around this movie? I don't want to start like on a downer, but were people actually talking about this movie when it came out? Because even after watching it, right, it checks all the boxes. Like technically, it's a really good movie. I'm going to say that it does everything right. Like for a superhero film, for a DC film, for an anti-hero film, all of it is done like perfectly. It's such a good looking, visually stunning piece of work. I still only like it though. I don't love it. And it doesn't go more than that. I don't know why. I don't know where the movie is falling short for me, but I can't find myself getting excited about the movie even after watching it. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, it was what it was. And that's about it. I don't even know if I'll go back and watch it again or even when it's out or whatever, you know.
I feel like it's a studio problem because this is not the first time now that that DC and Warner Brothers have rebooted something very, very soon after they launched their first not so great attempt. And so I think because of that, there is a sense of audience exhaustion because Suicide Squad as a concept is fun, right? It's got anarchy at its heart because it's a bunch of anti-heroes or in some cases, straight up villains sort of doing bad things in the name of a good mission, more or less, right? They're not even really there to pretend to be conflicted and, oh, maybe I could be a good guy this time. Like, there's none of that. So, in other words, it should really be very fun. But then I think that 5 years is not enough for non-hardcore fans, is not enough for the stink of the last film to really have been erased, so much so that I'm like, okay, I'm ready to watch this again. I guess the people that we would have wanted to see, like Margot Robbie, we've seen in other films, standalone films, even doing the character that we enjoyed. So it's kind of all those things. But I did enjoy it as well. I, however, don't remember very much of it. I think that might be the kind of film it is, though, because it's just the storyline, once we get into it, will, I think, explain a little bit. It's the same premise as Suicide Squad in that it's a bunch of baddies being recruited for a mission that that's vague at best, that doesn't appear to be very easy to accomplish. And in this case, they're trying to infiltrate a secret base on which there is a project, a secret project, Project Starfish, which is, to me, the highlight of this movie. And that's more or less it. And you have, like, Rick Flagg and Harley Quinn being joined by John Cena's Peacemaker and Idris Elba's Bloodshot. And that's kind of where the film starts.
So I actually really enjoyed it, as I said, right? But now that you said it, Lynn, I realize exactly the problem. Right after I watched Suicide Squad, I went home and I wanted to watch Birds of Prey again, and which I did. And I really liked Birds of Prey. So in a way, it ended up being a great double bill of sorts. But I think the challenge with this Suicide Squad is that everything felt fun, nothing felt new. And because nothing felt new, for better or worse, the first time you were introduced to the Suicide Squad was in the older one. And so that concept in itself is not new. It's a pity that it was such a bad movie, because I kind of wish this was the first Suicide Squad film I watched. I would have loved it. I feel everyone exactly understands the tone they're going for. Even Idris Elba, who, you know, you're more used to seeing in serious roles or doing the tough guy, he gets the humor. And they're all genuinely funny. They strike the right tone. Unlike, again, the earlier film, which, you know, some people thought they were doing drama and some people just were flat out comedy and none of it worked. And I love the James Gunn vibe. So, you know, the cool music and the colors and the way everything looks. I just think none of it feels fresh. And that might be why it sort of hits the mark just below great and ends up being kind of good, but not quite there.
I also felt like the movie didn't create enough moments for me to remember the movie for. So with most superhero movies, right, they have like so many memorable scenes that you will go on YouTube and watch, or you'll just like, you know, you'll skip to when you're watching the movie again on streaming or whatever. I don't want to go back and watch anything from The Suicide Squad. And again, I'm saying that it's a good movie. Like, I honestly enjoyed the movie while it was going on. It's far superior than the 2016 version. I think it's also one of the top three best DC movies in this DC universe. Like, it's really good. But I don't want to watch scenes again. I don't want anything more from The Suicide Squad. And I think that's also a DC problem, even with the movies that I like Man of Steel, to some extent Aquaman, Shazam. I'm okay with it being like that single solo movie. Like, I never want to see sequels. And this is coming from someone who loves sequels, spin-offs, and like the verseness of these things, right? I don't want to see more. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I felt the same way for The Suicide Squad. It is what it is. I don't mind if we never see Peacemaker or Bloodsport or King Shark ever again.
No, I want to see King Shark a lot. I want a solo King Shark film.
King Shark's great. King Shark just, you know, I feel like if we all lived like King Shark, the world would have fewer people, but we would be more content and full.
That's true.
I think that that actually lends on what I liked about the film. So we've kind of started off on a downer for a film that we all actually genuinely enjoyed, because it's very fun. And I think a lot of the fun lives in the characters, both good and bad, meaning the ones on the side of the good guys and the one bad star. And that is, they're really funny, right? Like, there are a lot of very fun visual gags. The sort of back and forth and repartee between the characters really work. Whether it's between Bloodsport and Peacemaker, whether it's between everybody and King Shark, the weirdness that is Polka Dot Man. Like, I liked the stuff that was weird for weird's sake. But I think that, again, going back to this idea of we don't want more from it, that might be why. Because weird for weird's sake, especially when it has its roots in comic books, can really only go so far, because now what, right? Like, so you've introduced these guys. This is a fun and kind of sprawly story, lots of violence, lots of blood and guts and gore, and that's great. Then now what? And I think the now what is kind of missing.
So if we're talking about things that we liked, though, I've already declared my undying love for King Shark. Margot Robbie is just ace as Harley Quinn, and I think, you know, even in the bad Suicide Squad, she was so good. She was the best thing about the film. And now post Birds of Prey, I think she's really grown into this role. She's really made it her own. She's got some great scenes in this. She's got some great stunts. That I enjoyed. And I really do feel like I could watch Margot Robbie pop up in any number of films playing Harley Quinn, and I would be equally excited to continue seeing it.
I love Bloodsport. So I think like Idris Elba is perfect for this role. He's been like very hit and miss with his movies and his choices. He did like Dark Tower and stuff, which was who knows why. But he's awesome as Bloodsport. John Cena really did well. Like mm-hmm. he's also hit and miss. But you know, like being a wrestling fan and all, it's like watching him do this was like, it's the perfect role for him. He did really well. And I also love the music. So we know like, you know, we know James Gunn knows how to choose soundtracks and knows how to curate like amazing mixtapes and stuff. The music in this movie is top-notch. It's not better than Guardians of the Galaxy 1 or 2, and I don't want to compare, but I'm only doing it because it's James Gunn. But still, like all the needle drops throughout the film, the 2 hours plus, so, so good.
We're talking today about The Suicide Squad, not throwing back to 2016, instead reviewing the new one that just came out for us, although it's been out in other parts of the world earlier. Let us know, did you watch it? Did you enjoy this soft reboot of the previous film? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You know the deal. Complete the mission, you get 10 years off your sentence.
You fail to follow my orders in any way, and I detonate the explosive device in the base of your skull.
Love them or hate them, these are your brothers and sisters for the next few days.
Any questions?
Hand?
Yes, that is your hand. Very good.
We're all gonna die.
I hope so.
Oh, for God's sake.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture, and in lieu of a throwback, because it is a very, very busy cinematic season, we are instead reviewing The Suicide Squad, which just came out on our shores, despite having premiered much earlier in the rest of the world. And we were talking earlier about, well, to sum up, I think we all thought it was good, not great, and we were talking about what we liked about it. Can we talk a bit about Starro? Because to me, Starro is the real beating star of this movie. Like, without Starro, there is no film. I don't think it's a spoiler because it's in the trailer. So you get the sense of one of, honestly, I think the weirdest comic book movie villains that they've ever committed on screen.
And weirdly sympathetic. Like, I didn't, you know, from having seen you know, drawings of Starro before and then sort of seeing him in the trailer, is it a him? I'm just gonna say him, but I'm not sure. Let's do him just because of the personality. but honestly, the film did a really good job with Starro, because also up to that point they introduced like numerous sort of villains. None of them are sort of compelling in any real sense. And then Starro shows up and he's this like giant candy-colored star, starfish, really. And who would have thought? Because if you compare it to, again, Marvel, usually when they go full CGI villains, they are not interesting at all. There's just something about the full-on leaning into the weirdness of this that I loved. I loved the last third because of Starro.
He's also such a tropey superhero villain. Like, it's the threat from the sky, or like the giant thing that's destroying cities or whatever. It's such a 25-year-old trope that they've been doing again and
or
again.
Like, but somehow, 50-year-old trope.
50-year-old trope. Like, you know, he's the kaiju. And James Gunn was able to take him and give him, like you said, like personality, and give him a sort of angle and an edge that we don't see from other movies. Like, just comparing it to the first Suicide Squad or the other Suicide Squad, they did the same thing, right? The third act, they brought like the threat from the sky, the big existential thing, wasn't compelling at all. But Starro, honestly, I want to see more of Starro. And I never thought I would actually say that about a character.
The King Shark and Starro spin-off that no one knew we wanted.
Oh, yes. Like, do it. Do it immediately.
King Shark, Starro, little jellyfish. I am there. Like, I'm all in. I think part of it is that we rarely praise CG, actually, on this on this show, right? We tend to talk about practical effects. But we've hit the point now where Starro looks really, really real, you know, where he's the kaiju feel, along with the actual weight of his weird legs as he's walking through buildings, like things like that actually feel very, very weighty. You can feel the presence of this character. And I think that that goes a long way towards creating something like this. They also went full bizarre with him in the same way that they went full bizarre with King Shark. They really decided to polka dot man. They're just going to go for it, right? Like, let's just make these weird characters super weird. And I appreciated that. And I think that that's the stuff in The Suicide Squad that really works. The thing I wanted to ask you both was the humor. And so while we're talking about pushing or characters being pushed to their bizarre limits, would you have wanted to see more extremes in the film? Fewer extremes? Did we want more emotion? When we talk about the missing quality, right, aside from the freshness, to me, the movie can only go one of two ways. Either it can go more extreme, or it would have to go much less extreme and focus on like the smaller human stories. Did we want either of that?
That's a tough question, because the only part where they sort of went fairly human, quote unquote, was with Bloodsport's story, as well as Ratcatcher 2. And those worked really well. Ratcatcher 2's background in particular, they handled really well, I think. I just think that the film has too many varying tones and weirdness and too many things that it perhaps is trying to do, that picking any one direction and going full on will probably not work either.
So I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion, but I know that a lot of people like James Gunn because they look forward to his like rated R violence and stuff, because he came from that sort of background, right? I feel like he's good at doing emotion and family bonds, especially when it comes to that parental dynamic or paternal dynamic in more often than not. And I feel like if they double down on that, the movie would have been like way better. For some reason, I feel like the violence worked, but it also overshadowed what James Gunn is really good at, which goes back to that stuff, the emotional punch and the emotional core of the film, which was kind of diluted because a lot of time was spent just like shooting and killing and with gore and blood. And I'm not complaining about any of that, but I feel like, you know, the ratio of it was sort of lopsided. The movie spent more time going, look at us, we're rated R and we can do all these cool things unlike every other superhero movie, instead of focusing on the important stuff.
And that stuff is not new anymore also, right? Like five years ago, perhaps it would have felt inventive. We now have Squid Game in our TVs. So, yeah. You know, this kind of stuff doesn't even feel like we need to go to the cinema and we need a Suicide Squad to do this.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I asked, because while I had a lot of fun with the splatter and the usual levels of comic book intense violence that you expect to get from this combination, right? From like DC, from a superhero movie with a big third act, from James Gunn, it also felt like it had been done, or it wasn't as, I don't know. I felt like it was either not extreme enough or somehow too extreme for the other stuff in the movie to compete. And when I say the other stuff, I mean the humor, the more the humor, the humanness, all that stuff. And I think that also speaks perhaps to the issue of how did you feel about, because of course, the Suicide Squad is being commanded in a sense, or being, what's the word, instructed by Amanda Walker, right? Played by Viola Davis. And I think, again, that those scenes felt somehow both lacking and lagging. It was as if there was more that could have been done, but instead they resorted to shorthand to be like, oh, she's a very serious character. You know, this is the comic relief. Like, those scenes felt underwritten to me.
Definitely. I think if there was one thing that I liked about the earlier Suicide Squad is that I think Amanda's role was a lot more defined. You got a real sense of who she was, and she was on the ground with them, right? Like we saw her in the field. This one, she's mostly relegated to sort of being the control room person. And Viola Davis is just such a fun actress to watch in these sorts of bonkers roles that I would have liked to see more of that.
This is one of those things where I would have liked them to stick to the comics, because she is a very manipulative like character, not just to the bad guys, but to the good guys also. She moves the, like, pawns and chess pieces around. In both movies, they kind of played her short. Like you said, they kind of gave her like one role and one tone. Like she's just commanding a band of baddies. If you have someone like Viola Davis, why, like, give her all the angles, like give her all the dimensions to do whatever she wants to do. You know, don't just keeper to like a command center room saying lines with like a singular tone.
So in closing then, I think we've kind of already answered this, but with any comic book film, the question is, do we want more?
You know, I'm going to say yes, mostly because Birds of Prey was so much fun. And this was fun. Like, I feel like if it wasn't a pandemic, if I didn't have to rethink every choice to go to a cinema and think about whether I wanted to, this would have been a fun movie outing, a fun big screen outing. So I think if they can kind of work on this formula, maybe. I would watch more Suicide Squad films as long as it's not a retreat of the first one.
I would. I'm not going to say I want more Suicide Squad, but then we know that a Peacemaker TV show is coming out. Even then, right, I would rather see a Bloodsport TV show than a Peacemaker TV show. I don't know if Peacemaker works outside of the group, but if they put Idris Elba in a Bloodsport miniseries on HBO, then yes. Like if they're doing that sort of like spin-off way, then yes, 100%.
Don't give the people who made Space Jam any ideas. They don't need more ideas on how to repurpose characters. If they make more, I'll watch it. I'm not clamoring for it. I think that's my take on it. But let us know, have you watched The Suicide Squad? What did you make of it? Did you enjoy? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.